grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word this evening, the second Advent Wednesday, is the lesson from 1 Peter chapter 1, also Revelation 1 verse 9. Our sermon theme, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation, that's last week's message, and in the kingdom, that's tonight's message, and in the perseverance, and that's next week's message, all of those that are in Jesus, I was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. The kingdom. St. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, defines it for us. He gives us a brief explanation of it. He says, it's an inheritance, these are his words, an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, kept in the heavens for you. In other words, it's your possession. Last week we said tribulation was our possession. That's what you have in Jesus. But tonight we hear that we have a kingdom. That is our possession in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to shed some light on that, we are going to look in a rather obscure corner of the Bible. Book of Genesis, chapter 25, and I'll read it for you, a few verses here. It says, now Abraham took another wife, whose name was Keturah. And she bore to him Zimran, and Yokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. Now Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts while he was still living. And he sent them away from his son Isaac eastward, to the land of the east. Have you ever heard that passage? Not too common. Keturah was the wife of Abraham's old age, and through her, he had six sons. He also had a son Ishmael from his concubine Hagar. But then there was one other son. All of these sons that are mentioned here, they all received gifts from Abraham. They received maybe what we would call bequests while he was still living. But there was only one son who was the heir, the one who would receive the whole estate upon his father's death, the inheritance. What was his name? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was Isaac. Now you know that there is a difference between gifts or bequests and the estate. They are two very different things, and often it's a very significant difference. It's a significant difference in earthly matters and also in eternal matters. Because we know that the Lord gives gifts, bequests, to all people. We're all dependent upon him in one way. God gives to some people intelligence, to some people talents, to some people skills, to some people abilities. Book of Acts chapter 14, God didn't leave himself without witness, and this is speaking to unbelievers. He did good for you, and he gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, and he satisfied your hearts with food and gladness. In other words, the Lord is good and generous to all. Now, if you have a jealous eye, it can seem to you sometimes that the unbelieving people, those who don't trust the Lord Jesus, get the greater gifts or get the larger portions. But what you want to remember is that, like with Abraham, these things are only gifts. They are only portions. They are only bequests. They are not the estate. They are not the inheritance. they are not the kingdom. These are things that are only as much as this present life can dispense for a person. That isn't very much. These are things that are only as good as a fallen world can give to you. And because it is a fallen world, whenever there are good things, there are also difficult things as well. There's misery, there's heartache, all the evils that the devil brought into this world. And you know from experience that everyone you meet has got to deal with something, has some issue in their life that's a struggle, that's a problem, that's a misery. But then again, what do you want? What do you want? The good things that you and I have here are just the gifts. They're just the bequests. They're not the inheritance. They are not the inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, tonight's lesson. He says, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has made us born again into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead." A living hope. He says, our Father in heaven has shown mercy to us, abundant mercy, in the cross of his Son. He says, he gave you his Holy Spirit so that you could believe. He says, he raised his Son from the dead, and so also he will raise you. That's what we call a living hope. That's the estate. Unlike a gift or a bequest, or maybe we could say a dying hope. Because they're all around you. They're all around you. Everything in this world, or nothing in this world, lasts forever. Everything sooner or later goes by the wayside. And we don't want to misunderstand here. These are things that we hope in, but they do have benefit for us and they serve for a time, but they are dying hopes. They soon pass away. I suppose I was getting a little too philosophical the other day when I looked out my window and I saw that new building they're putting up across the street. And I thought to myself, is this a funny thought? I thought to myself, you know, 100 years from now, I wonder if that building's even going to be there. We're all so full of hope. We have these things that we build and we're going to construct. But how long in this life, ultimately, do they last? Why? Because they're not the inheritance. They're just a bequest. They're just a gift. They're just a temporary thing for the present life. But if you have the Lord Jesus, you are born again into the inheritance. And our scripture for tonight describes it for us. It says that the inheritance is incorruptible. It says that it is undefiled. It says that it is unfading. It says that it is kept in heaven for you, incorruptible. All corruption is a change from better to worse, but eternal life doesn't change from better to worse. It remains one continuous good. Undefiled. There's no place for sin or misery. Unfading. It always retains its strength, its beauty, its interest. And it's kept in heaven for you. I think back to the day that I was confirmed in the faith, 13 years old, if I remember correctly, 13 years old, and my dad showed me something. He said, "This is for you." And he opened up an old case, and inside of it was an antique pocket watch. And he said, "This belonged to me, now it's yours on the day of your confirmation." How wonderful. But then he said, "But I'm going to keep it for you." Why? Because you're 13 years old. And you'll probably take it to school and show it off to your friends, or you'll drop it, or you'll lose it, or something like that. But I'm going to keep it for you. And so the Lord does that for us as well, too. Because you know how our hearts wander. You know how the world tempts us. You know how Satan deceives us. And it takes Almighty God and his power to see us all the way to the kingdom, all the way to the inheritance that we have together with him. And so tonight's lesson, it says, in all of this, knowing all of these things, You leap for joy. That's literally what it says. And it's the same word that our Lord Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. You have an inheritance. And you can be thankful for what you have here. You can be thankful for the gifts and the bequests. You can be thankful for a roof over your head and food on the table and a heating system that works, or going out for dinner or whatever else. But there's only one thing, finally, that can make a child of God say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is that we have the kingdom. Yes, we do have tribulation, like we said last week, but we also have the kingdom of God, an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading, kept in the heavens for you. And in this, you leap for joy. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.